Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, and this morning's conversation with David Walker, Comptroller General of the United States and head of the Government Accountability Office. And joining us in our conversation is Al Morales. Well, David, could you elaborate on how the debate about our fiscal future is ultimately not about numbers, but about values?
Well, first, we're talking about very big numbers. When you're talking about total liabilities and commitments of $43 trillion, those are huge numbers. It's tough for people to be able to relate to it. But my point is that, yes, numbers are involved, but the real important thing are two other dimensions, values and people. Values like fiscal responsibility and stewardship to future generations, having a responsibility not just to leave things better off when you leave than when you came, but better positioned for the future. And people from the standpoint of our children, our grandchildren, and future generations of Americans. Those are the type of issues that will move people to act. Numbers won't do it by themselves. It's about values and it's about people.
Dave, we spoke earlier of the major fiscal challenges that the U.S. is facing. What can Americans do now to mitigate the circumstances?
Well, a couple of things. One, I think they have to recognize that we are on an unsustainable path from a fiscal standpoint. There are going to have to be dramatic changes, and that individuals ultimately are going to have to assume more responsibility in the future than may have been the case in the past. They need to plan, save, and invest for retirement, among other things. Yes, Social Security will still be there, but it's going to be reformed. Yes, Medicare will still be there, but it's going to be more dramatically reformed over the years. And secondly, I think what they need to do is they need to exercise their civic responsibility to become informed and involved with regard to a lot of the issues that we're talking about in order to play a meaningful role in the coming debate about that baseline review and the future of government. I think it's particularly important for young people to be informed and involved because ultimately we're talking about their future and ultimately they're going to bear the burden if others fail to act in a timely and responsible manner. They're going to get what we call a double whammy. They're going to end up paying much, much higher tax rates, get less, and have less choice about what they think the proper role for government is. And it's important they recognize that reality and act.
In turn, what can government leaders do today to address the fiscal challenge debate?
Well, the first thing that we have to do is face the facts and recognize that we are on an unsustainable path. You know, you can't solve a problem until you admit that you have a problem and that it's more prudent to deal with it sooner rather than later. So that's the first thing. Secondly, I think we have to make sure that we have more transparency over where we are and where we're headed. I think we need to have some process reforms with regard to the budget process. And in that regard, the first thing you do when you're in a hole is to stop digging. And then I think we have to engage in this fundamental review and reassessment of the base of government to figure out what's the proper role of government in the future, how should it do business, and how are we going to finance and pay for whatever revised role and responsibilities might be.
What advice can you give to government leaders working on their financial statements today?
Well, financial statements are important. But frankly, not enough people are reading the financial statements of the U.S. government. That's part of the problem. I think you have to keep in mind that we're dealing with the people's money. We have a stewardship responsibility. We serve a public purpose and work for the public good, and that the taxpayers have a right to make sure that we are handling their funds in a responsible manner. And part of that is an appropriate transparency and accountability mechanism in the form of annual financial reports and audited financial statements. But it's not just with regard to financial reporting. It's also performance reporting. You know, the taxpayers have a right to know what kind of results have been achieved with the financial, human, and other resources and authorities that agencies have. And so I think it's important that we not just look at financial statements and continue to make progress there, but we also have to enhance our performance reporting in order to provide more meaningful information that hopefully people will pay attention to.
David, as you've talked a lot about the challenges this morning we face, I've heard a lot of sort of what I might characterize as pay now for gain later. And I'm sort of wondering if you think that's correct. And if so, it seems like a pretty hard equation for people to work their way through naturally. How would you reflect on this or give people advice to think about it?
Well, this isn't easy. Nobody said it was going to be easy, but it's essential. And, you know, sometimes I think back to the old Popeye show, and I remember Wimpy, you know, I will gladly pay you Tuesday for a hamburger today. Well, we're eating a lot of hamburgers, and we're delaying the day of reckoning, and I think that's got to stop. We got to get serious. We've got to remember what those values are. We've got to be able to see the faces of our kids and our grandkids and think about future generations to do that. But I believe, you know, in America, anything is possible with persistence and dedication and leadership and commitment. And I'm confident that ultimately we will end up effectively addressing these. What I'm concerned about is when we're going to start. And I believe it's critical that we start now.
In the last segment, you talked a lot about GAO, and I was reflecting on one answer you gave to hiring, and you spoke a lot about hiring entry-level professionals. Does GAO hire experienced folks, or have you hired experienced folks?
We do, and we do to a greater extent today than we did before I was at GAO. While a vast majority of the people that we hire will end up coming in at the entry level, we have brought in a number of people with various skills and knowledge that we need. Including at the highest levels. For example, our chief administrative officer, who also serves as our chief financial officer, came in from the outside. Our current general counsel came in from the outside, although he didn't come in that position. A number of top executives did. And we've hired people in the middle as well who have skills and knowledge that we need, in part because of that gap in the development pipeline that I talked about before, where when I came to GAO, we hadn't hired very many people at all in the 5 years before I was there, and therefore there was a development gap. And I think it's important to bring in people from the outside in order to be able to get people with different experience, different perspectives, in order to try to help facilitate the change necessary.
I know in the first segment you described your career and you've been in the private sector and the public sector too, but I think if people reflect on it, they would describe you as a public servant. And I guess I'd be curious about the advice you'd give to someone interested in a career in public service and maybe even with a focus on finance, because I think you've talked a lot about the financial aspects of government in our talk this morning.
Well, if I talk about the federal government, for example, but I will say that public service is a lot more than the federal government. You know, it's federal government, state government, local government, and frankly, it's more than government. It's not, you know, not-for-profit organizations, NGOs, if you will. There's a lot of public service that can be done there. But if I focus on the federal government, what I would say is that the federal government represents the largest, most complex, most diverse, arguably most important entity on the face of the earth. It's 20% of the U.S. economy, the only superpower on earth, and therefore you need to have top-flight talent running that type of enterprise. There are tremendous challenges, tremendous opportunities in the federal government. Individuals can assume a lot of responsibility very early. They can make a difference that involves billions of dollars and millions of people. It's rare that you get that opportunity. You know, I've had the pleasure and privilege of being able to have responsible positions both in the private sector and the public sector. And I've enjoyed every job that I've had. And I enjoy the private sector to a great extent. But I've never enjoyed anything more than public service. You know, obviously my wallet's not as well off as it used to be, but my head and my heart are much fuller than well, as my heart is, not my head. Hopefully, I mean, I know a lot more. Let's put it that way, and I feel a lot better about what I'm doing. So it's a real opportunity to make a difference for your fellow citizens and for the future of our country.
David, that'll have to be our last question. Alan, I want to thank you for joining us this morning and fitting us in your very busy schedule.
Well, Paul and Al, I want to thank you again for being a repeat customer. And don't forget that GAO website, www.gao.gov. Thanks.
Thank you, David. This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with David Walker, Comptroller General of the United States and Head of the Government Accountability Office. Be sure and visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and research and get a transcript of today's fascinating conversation. Once again, that's businessofgovernment.org. For the Business of Government Hour, I'm Paul Lawrence. Thank you for listening.